Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at EPLRoundtable@gmail.com. All right, we are here with a Leicester City update with Jim Knight, who of course you can find at JimKnight88 on Twitter and various goal and perform things. Jim, very glad to have you back on. Sorry it's under the circumstances. We addressed the tragedy the day after it happened, but we didn't want to get into details because we didn't know them yet, so we figured the time to do it would be now when you were able to come on. So let's just start off with Koum Vichai, who is now obviously departed, and what his impact was on both the club and community since he took ownership of Leicester.
Yeah, it's obviously a sad circumstance that we have to talk about this, but over the last couple of weeks, I think people have not come to terms with it, but maybe come to appreciate Vichai and what he's done for both Leicester City as a football club and for the wider community as well. I think it's impossible to overstate his impact on Leicester City as a football club. He has allowed Leicester City fans to live out the most incredible footballing journey. And I've been lucky enough to be a big part of that and to see it as it kind of grew. It's easy to forget, I think, that the King Power ownership only took over the club in 2010, 2011, kind of when the takeover was actually completed. So actually, in those 8 short years, they've achieved a mammoth amount, you know, to take a club from the Championship as we were then to a Premier League club is fantastic in itself. But to have the 2 seasons, certainly the Premier League title winning season, and to have the following Champions League run that we had to the quarterfinals was just, you know, it was incredible that it happened in such a way that was so unexpected. And I think Leicester City became a lot of people's second teams almost. I think people identified with the underdog story and kind of saw them. Certainly, I've heard it a lot said of fans from the Football League, so maybe outside the kind of established Premier League elite, that it allows clubs of a certain stature to believe that almost anything is possible in a footballing sense, which is fantastic. And I think a lot of the reason people go to football is to dream of days like that, whether it be, you know, it's all relative, whether it be a cup final, whether it be promotion to another division, or, you know, in our case, achieving the pinnacle of English football in winning the Premier League. It's just incredible. And the King Power ownership, you know, we owe everything as Leicester City fans to Vichai, his family, and not only the money that he's put into the club, which is obviously substantial, but also the steady hand kind of behind the scenes that we've seen, and the patience, the understanding, and the genuine, you know, the genuine care with which he's handled the football club, which unfortunately is not something you could say about a lot of owners these days.
Yeah, and it certainly seems like his passing brought the community together. I saw a photo that you had put out on Twitter where an actual fox was trotting through, which was just both an incredible photo and definitely an emotionally provoking one. What have you made of the response, again, by the club and community since his passing? I know they gave away the T-shirts at the match against Cardiff, but giving things away was kind of part of his tenure as owner, I know, with the beers and stuff like that, the year you won the title. But what have you made of the response since then?
It's been overwhelming. Like, I personally have kind of, obviously you have that initial shell shock and that numbness that you just kind of can't believe it's happened. But after you start to get your head around it from a mental standpoint, I think it certainly really hit me that the outpouring of grief and emotion that we saw, not just from Leicester City fans, but you're right, Kevin, fans from all over the country and the world. I've been down to the King Power Stadium since the memorial kind of sprung up. I don't think it was ever planned. I think it just kind of, it spontaneously happened that people would start to kind of lay flowers at the King Power Stadium, obviously the site of the horrific crash. And it became that central hub and that shrine for people to meet and remember and to show their appreciation for what Vichai did, and to mourn the passing of those five passengers that were on the helicopter on the Sunday or on the Saturday night, as it was. And then we had the terrible news confirmed on the Sunday evening following. The way the club have handled the passing in obviously horrifically difficult circumstances has been, I think, one of the most miraculous things about the last kind of week or two, because we've seen just how well organised and well run the club is. You know, within a few days, there was not only a huge amount of tributes from fans that were being organised into kind of sections outside the ground to allow people to not only lay their own personal token of affection and kind of remembrance, but a book of condolence was set up outside the ground. Physically, there's five different books of condolence there, and people have been queuing for hours on occasion to kind of sign that and to put down in words how they feel about what's happened. I went down on Friday almost 4 or 5 days ago now as we record, and it's got this eerie sense of mourning but also of celebration about it. And I think in these situations it's easy to get bogged down in what a horrific tragedy it actually is, and I think it's important to remember the celebration part of what has been the last week or so, because we have a lot to celebrate as Leicester City fans. And obviously it's not a situation we envisage ourselves being in anytime soon, but we've been able to relive a lot of the joyous, beautiful moments that the club have given us under Vichai's ownership and stewardship as well. And, you talk about the impact with the fan base, those T-shirts given away at Cardiff are just another example of the kind tokens of affection. And they are tokens of affection. They are a way of thanking the continued support of the crowd, especially at away games. Even going back a few years when we were chasing promotion in the Championship, I remember going to several games at the likes of Burnley and Blackburn and Wigan. They're not long journeys, really. There are clubs, Leicester is a geographical city, is relatively good because you smack bang in the middle of England. It's nothing's too far away, essentially. But those journeys, some of them were subsidised by the club in terms of the coach travel, which is obviously fantastic and encourages people to get out on the road and support the team. But also things like free breakfasts. If you were going on the official club travel, you would get, you get to the stadium a half an hour before the coach departed and they give you a cup of tea or coffee, a bacon or sausage roll or sandwich to take with you. We've had cupcakes and donuts on the chairman's birthday. We've had beers as a token of our appreciation. There are a number of little trinkets and special edition bags of crisps when Jamie Vardy scored his 11th Premier League goal in a row. Little pin badges commemorating the title win. They are just tokens of affection rather than kind of anything more sinister. They're not a bribe to the fan base. They're not a way to keep us satisfied, because no one expects it, but everyone appreciates it when they do come around, because the ownership didn't have to do that. Vichai didn't have to reach into his own pocket and give back in the way that he has. And I think it's not only the fans that have benefited from his ownership, but the local community as well. He's sunk so much money that we know about. There's probably a lot more that we don't. And I've laboured this point several times with people that I've spoken to in the last week, that, we know about the £2 million that he gave to Leicester Children's Hospital when it was being built. We know about the £1 million that he's donated to the Leicester University Medical Research Department. We know about another £1 million that he gave the Foxes Foundation, which has actually today just been renamed in his honour as well, which is a fantastic touch from the club and a wonderful way to commemorate an exceptional person who had such a big impact on the city and the surrounding areas. But there's probably a lot of those donations that have gone unpublicized as well, because Vichai never sought out the publicity. You know, he was very very visible at games and around the club, and very affable by all accounts from the people that have had the ability to, you know, to recount stories of interacting with him, and that's wonderful. But he was very rarely heard. There was very little media, done by the family as a whole. There was a few interviews done around the time that we got promoted to the Premier League, and I think that's when we'd like to be a Champions League club within 5 years or 4 years, I think it was at the time, that line came out. And, you know, we hear that so often from especially foreign owners that take over English football clubs or British football clubs. And a lot of the time it's kind of laughed out of the press because it's very unrealistic. But actually, they managed to not only achieve that incredible dream, but on time as well. In fact, ahead of that self-imposed time frame, which is obviously just there was some amount of kind of luck in it, I suppose. But a lot of it is down to the how well the club was run, how well they invested the money that they did, and how much faith they put in the staff to guide us to the right place. But yeah, you know, the city and the community as a whole will have a immeasurable gratitude, debt of gratitude to Kun and Kun Vichai. And I think it's really important that, you know, he's remembered for what he did away from the football pitch almost as much as what he did on it, because that impact will last just as long as the memories of the title winning season and the Champions League campaign that followed.
Yeah, speaking of remembrance, obviously at the Cardiff match, the t-shirts which we mentioned, and then when Damari Gray scored, he had a undershirt that was praising the boss, and then after the match, there was also kind of a farewell ceremony of sorts. Just kind of talk us through that match and the emotional highs and lows.
It was an emotional afternoon, I think, for everybody, whether they were in Cardiff or not. I think as much as we talk about the incredible response by the club, I think that was demonstrated perfectly on the pitch against Cardiff. I think the reaction of the players, given what they'd been through, only a few days earlier, was wonderful. And I think all credit to them for the way that they not only paid their respects in such a way, and the kind of the unwavering gratitude and sense of camaraderie between the squad at that point and the management and the staff as a whole. I think you saw it was perfectly encapsulated with the kind of minute silence before kickoff in Cardiff, when it wasn't just the 11 players that were taken to the pitch for that game as the starting 11. It wasn't just the matchday squad of 18. It was most of the Leicester backroom staff that were on that centre circle in Cardiff. And I think that just it's a perfectly poignant kind of illustration of what Leicester City is about. It's the club itself is a family, and I think that's the way it should be viewed. And as a family would deal with a bereavement like Leicester City have had, people have come together, and, you know, obviously it's unfortunate it's a difficult situation with Damari Gray, because he scores, he reveals his undershirt with the message of support on, and by the letter of the law, you know, that is against the rules and is an automatic booking if you do that, the same as removing your shirt.
Have you ever seen a referee look more sheepish?
No, and I kind of understand why, because I wouldn't have liked to have been in that situation, because to some degree, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Now, I think a lot of people would have preferred the referee in question to err on the side of not booking Damari Gray. But then that opens something of a can of worms, because if that had come back to haunt Leicester potentially in the game, say Damari Gray had missed time to tackle, for which he was booked in the last few minutes, and the game, you know, the game was only a 1-0 victory. Now, we can debate all day long about the Sol Bamba handball and how Leicester probably should have been further ahead by that point. But say Damari Gray goes in late on a player and is booked, that opens a can of worms, because people will say, well, he should have, by the letter of the law, he should have been booked for taking his shirt off. So I think the referee was put in a very difficult position. I completely understand why Damari Gray did it, and I think all the players probably, I haven't had it confirmed that this is the case, but I would imagine all of the players had a similar message underneath their shirts, so that whoever scored would do the same thing. Now, it's a difficult situation, because the referee is obliged to abide by the rules of the Football Association, who've stated that that is a yellow card offence. I suppose it's relatively lucky in a way that it didn't come back to be more of an issue. And actually the debate is around whether or not they should have let him off because of the exceptional circumstances of which they're in. And obviously that was very widely known. But again, that then causes problems in case there's ever a similar situation down the line. And then it becomes a case of whataboutism when, you know, it happens again. So, yeah, as you say, there's probably never going to be a more sheepish booking in Premier League history than that. Thankfully, it didn't have a big impact on the game. There was no kind of further repercussions of it. And the after effects have been a kind of moral debate rather than a footballing one, which is probably preferable, to be honest, rather than it kind of having an impact on the game, because I think that probably would have soured the occasion a little bit. So, yeah, understandable. Referee in a difficult position. I can see why he did it, but understandably he was probably prepared for the fact that he was going to catch some flack as well from the kind of general public and various people who felt that it was unwarranted.
Yeah, then obviously a lot of things happen after the match, including the club. I don't know how many members, but there was a flight after the match to Bangkok.
Yeah, so the vast majority, I think, of the playing squad have gone out to Thailand to pay their respects to the funeral of Khun Vichai. And the way that I understand it, obviously, I'm no expert in Thai culture or Thai religious kind of ceremonies or what happens in these situations. But the way that it's certainly being portrayed over here is that the funeral essentially lasts about a week. In terms of it being that long in time and opportunity and various kind of ceremonies that allow people to pay their respects. So I think it's great the players have flown out to Thailand, and I don't know if it's everybody, but there are certainly a lot of the playing squad and management that are out there. And understandably so, you know, I think a lot of the players' tributes that we've heard and seen from former players as well as current players, you know, the likes of Riyad Mahrez, N'Golo Kante, who's obviously very quiet and reserved and doesn't often speak out about anything, to be honest. You know, Danny Drinkwater, who put quite an emotional tribute out after the crash itself. You know, what we've seen from players like him, plus the more vocal members of the squad, Wes Morgan, Jamie Vardy and Kasper Schmeichel in particular, who is exceptionally close to the family and I think is probably one of the hardest suffering players, given that he was on the scene just after it happened. He's obviously been through a horrific experience, and you know, I don't think he would wish that on anybody. And obviously it's really difficult to know what to do with yourself in that situation, but for them to fly out and engage with the culture that brought about, you know, the historic kind of fairy tale ending to what was a fantastic rise to fame for Leicester City as a football club, you know, is brilliant. And that pinnacle being the Premier League title win. So much of the kind of Buddhist and Thai culture is ingrained in the football club now. And that's all down to Vichai and Top, his son, who's vice chairman. And what they've brought to the city and to the football club, you know, they've brought their own culture into Leicester City, and they've done it in such a way where it hasn't altered or changed the core dynamic of the football club, but it's only added to it. You know, we've seen Buddhist monks in the King Power Stadium blessing the players, blessing the pitch, and kind of Vichai was a big believer in karma and the good side of that equation, that if you are able to give back and that you do, then, you know, it will come back around to you. And I think it's fantastic that the players and the staff have gone out to Thailand to engage in that that culture, and to see, and maybe I'm sure it would be a huge learning experience for all of them, a bit more about you know, Vichai's background, about Thai and Buddhist ceremonies when these terrible things happen. And, you know, I think it will bring them closer and give them a sense of closure to some degree, because it will be so different to, I'm sure, anything that any of them have potentially experienced before.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, turning it to the football, which obviously seems insignificant at times in reaction, what has this done to the fan base in terms of expectations for the club? Have they lessened or relaxed, or maybe is that not really a thought at the moment of how this will affect the club on the pitch throughout the rest of the season?
It's going to sound like a bit of a cop-out, I think, but it's so difficult to tell at the moment, because I think everybody is still so consumed with what happened off the pitch that it's very difficult for people to fully process that and then put that into kind of thoughts about what happens on the pitch going forward. If I had to kind of plump for one side or the other, I'd say it probably means this season is something of a, not a free hit or a write-off, but that's the wrong word and the wrong terminology for it. But I think there will be a lowering of expectation around this year. I think we came into the season expecting a top half finish, and I think there will be less pressure now on, say, Claude Puel and the key players to deliver that, because of the fact that this is obviously going to impact the players. You know, there's nobody expecting this to be over when they get back from Thailand in terms of that grieving process. And, you know, all of us, I'm guessing, will probably have been through some kind of grief, some kind of loss that in our lives. And people react to it differently. People take different amounts of time to come to terms with things. And rightly so, you know, everybody is different. And we can't expect people to be on the same timeline as each other at certain points. And I think there will be a lot more understanding. Let's put it like that. I think people will have their expectations lowered, and I think people will be a lot more open to the possibility that this is going to have a longer lasting effect than just one match. Obviously, the result at Cardiff was poignant. It was fantastic, and it was a brilliant way to honour a fantastic man and a huge part of the football club and what we've been about for the last 8 or 9 years. But that's not to say that will transfer over, you know, to other matches. And I think it kind of pushes the reset button. I think that's maybe the best way to describe it. I think it will bring people back down to a level where they aren't expecting the earth anymore. Leicester fans have struggled with expectation. And Kev, we've spoken about this on numerous occasions in the last couple of years since the title win. Leicester City as a club have struggled to come to terms with their identity in terms of what they should expect because of this super high bar that was set by that title win in 2015-16. The following two seasons have been really difficult, because if you take the previous year and the Great Escape, you know, before we won the title, then Leicester City as a club were just glad to be in the Premier League. But after you go through something like that, I think for certain sections of the fan base, they then believe that should be the norm for Leicester, or that it should be all right towards the upper echelon of what can be achieved. But people were believing that we should be qualifying for Europe every year, and football just doesn't work like that. It was such a ridiculous kind of underdog long shot story that you can't use that as your basis for what should happen going forward. But nevertheless, the club's ownership are ambitious as well. You know, and that's been shown by the sacking of Claudio Ranieri, the sacking of Craig Shakespeare after he'd taken over and steadied the ship so well. The ownership have taken the decisions that have been right for the club, whether they be hard or not, time and time again. And actually, part of that must be born out of an expectation that the club should move on to bigger and better things and try and, you know, and strive for that established Premier League club mentality and looking towards the upper end of the table now and kind of kicking on towards Europe. So while this season, I think is going to be difficult, obviously it's happened only a kind of 10 or 11 games into the campaign. So whether or not that will be the long lasting effect throughout the rest of the campaign, I don't know. But certainly for now, I think there's going to be a level of expectation tempering. But also, I think there are a lot of people who believe that some kind of triumph this year would be the perfect tribute and that that should motivate the players. You know, we've got a obviously the Carabao Cup game with Southampton a couple of days after the crash happened was postponed. That will be replayed at the end of November. Then if Leicester are to get through that game, there will be a home match with Manchester City in the quarterfinals. A lot of people are looking at things like the League Cup to kind of say, well, that would be the perfect tribute to pay to a dearly, you know, departed and appreciated owner. Whether or not that comes to fruition or not, it remains to be seen. But I certainly think people won't be expecting it, but I think there are some parts of the fan base that obviously I've spoken to that feel that it would be a fitting tribute if something like that were to be achieved in this year of all years.
All right, and then taking a step back to look at the even bigger picture, obviously this leaves you without an owner. I know his son is involved in the club. Is there an expectation that he or some other member of the family would take ownership, or what is the large scale ramification of this in terms of the top down at the club?
Yeah. So it's Vichar's son, Top, who has been vice chairman for 6 years now at Leicester City, has, I think, been the driving force. He's been at his dad's right hand, really. Throughout the vast majority of the King Power ownership. So there is a natural successor, and he's issued a statement, you know, it was a very emotional statement towards the end of last week about how he wanted to carry on his dad's legacy and continue his dad's dream almost. You know, they've obviously spoken about their ambitions for Leicester City as a wider kind of thing, not just the next 3 or 4 years, but, you know, potentially the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years. And how they expect their ownership to pan out in terms of results on the pitch and, you know, the wider view for the club. So I think it's a fairly stable situation. It's not like that it now falls to someone who either doesn't have an interest or hasn't been a part of the football club. Top has been there every step of the way and could quite easily on another day have been on that helicopter too. They regularly use it as the mode of transport to get to and from the grounds together. It's just, you know, it was by chance that I think he wasn't on the helicopter on that fateful Saturday night. So there is a natural successor in Top, and he has been such a big part of the club, and, you know, he's really close to some of the players and the management. And I think you see, you know, there was pictures of Jamie Vardy and him kind of arm in arm almost on the pitch when they were laying tributes to Kunvichai on the Monday after the crash happened, and obviously with the sad news confirmed. And, you know, there are various reports that Top was the person who talked his dad out of sacking Nigel Pearson at some point during the Great Escape season, and to give him the opportunity to stick with it and to bring about what was a miraculous escape from relegation in that last 10-game spell. So I think the future remains bright for Leicester City, because I think there will be a sense of continuity in the ownership now. I don't think it's going to change the situation. I think, you know, things operating as normal is the wrong phrase, but I think there will be that continuity where not a lot changes from an ownership or a stability point of view, which obviously as a Leicester City fan is a very comforting thought after what is such a horrendous kind of couple of weeks events. There's a new training ground in the pipeline. £100 million has been allocated to build a new training complex outside the city to the north. And, you know, those kind of projects to bring the club not up to a standard of a Champions League club, but to lay the foundations for what we believe to be a long-term project is really encouraging. And, you know, that kind of continued investment in the infrastructure and the stadium potentially being expanded because of how often it's sold out now and the increased kind of interest from a local community, and how many season tickets we've got. There aren't a huge amount of general sale tickets anymore for games. So there's kind of plans to expand the stadium and things like that to go with it as the club's reputation continues to grow. And obviously the money in football continues to grow as well due to the TV deals and various commercial side deals. So I think from an ownership point of view and from a continuity point of view, there's plenty there to be optimistic about going forward. And, you know, I guess we'll see Top's vision for Leicester City and how he sees it going forward over the coming weeks and months.
All right. Well, Jim, thanks so much for joining us today. We know it's not an easy topic to discuss, but we're very glad you came and did so with us. Is there anywhere folks can find you, either talking about this or hopefully lighter fare?
Yeah, so there's a couple of tributes, kind of pieces that we've put out over the last week or so. The main one will be there's a video on the goal.com YouTube page and Facebook page as well, which is myself and Miles Chambers from Goal talking about Kun Vichai, his legacy, and you know, the amazing kind of impact that he had on the football club. So you can find that on YouTube, on the Goal YouTube channel, or on Facebook. And there's more stuff from me personally on Twitter, at JimKnight88. And as Kev alluded to in the intro, I work for a company called Perform, who handle various football websites, including Goal.com and Soccerway.com. And my particular specialism is betting. So a lot of the stuff that we produce is around that kind of thing. So if that's of interest to you, check us out on Goal and Soccerway, and yeah, get in touch.
All right, well, Jim, thanks again for joining us. Absolute pleasure, although a little bit dampened by the topic. But thanks for joining us, and folks at home, we hope you keep listening.